Saram dear listeners and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. So if you have been following this series wherein we contemplate on the beautiful messages that Swami himself had written, an exercise that the Lord undertook only in this avatar to pen down his message so that probably there is no gap between the master and the message. In the last few weeks, we have been deliberating on Sandeha Nivarani chapter 3. The last two sessions were dedicated to the first two segments of chapter 3 of Sandeha Nivarani. And we will pray to Swami to be with us, to shed light in our hearts as we try to assimilate what he has left for us to ponder on and to implement in our lives. Bhagwan has graciously sent two brothers, like he has been doing last few episodes, to join us in this discussion. And both of them have spent long years at his lotus feet, have seen him at close quarters, have spent hours reading what he has written and watching him and trying to understand to whatever extent we can his gestures, his words, his poems, his discourses, his messages. We have Brother Srinivas Rao, who has been there with us in many episodes. Brother Bhargav is back with us today. So Brother Srinivas Rao from Sri Satisai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences and Brother Bhargav from the administrative block of Sri Satisai Institute of Higher Learning. Welcome, brothers, to this episode of Vahini Satsang.
Sairam, brother.
Sairam, brother.
Very nice to be here. Thanks to Swami for getting this opportunity for us to be here in this discussion.
So, let's listen to what Bhagwan has written in this third segment of Sandeha Nivarini, and then we will pray to him to guide our thoughts.
Just one doubt. The formless Paramatma, you said, has countless names. Are all names and forms equal? Are some high and some low?
What a question! All names and forms are certainly equal. The one supreme principle will assume the name and form that is worshipped. But the bhakta should pay attention to one matter. In whichever form the Lord is worshipped, the purpose of the contemplation must be the same.
What type of purpose, Swami?
Mumukshatvam, desire for liberation. The Lord alone should be loved, nothing else. Love that, meditate on that, experience the concretization of that form. Finally, you should merge into that divinity. Acute desire for this should be the only purpose.
True, Swami, I have understood well. As you said, I have heard many stories from the Bhagavata and the Ramayana of people who asked the Lord all kinds of favors and brought about their own ruin. Hiranyaksha, Ravana, Bhasmasura and others are remembered for their such ways from that day to this. You have said it clearly. It is something which bhaktas should carefully consider.
Well, there is no use simply nodding the head for everything, relishing them as true, true. If it is firmly fixed in your heart that this is true and good, then it is necessary for you to put into disciplined practice. If, so long as I speak, you say it is true, but forget when you go away, this listening itself is useless. The food that is eaten is to satiate hunger, not for just placing it on the tongue and not sending it down to the stomach, resulting in hunger again. So also, hearing and not acting accordingly is useless.
So, it's a small segment, but in the last few episodes, I have seen that every time we take a slightly bigger segment, there is so much that we are left to still deliberate upon. And so we thought that it is good to take smaller chunks and spend good amount of time trying to assimilate what Bhagwan has written, because every dialogue is so important. And even though it might seem simple, but Swami is actually so plainly putting down the truths, simple truths, which to the world are in today's times, if you see, very complicated. Like for example, the first question where the Bhakta asks, are all names and forms equal? You know, and I think that is something Swami is actually telling him, I mean, almost rebuking him for a silly question. But if you think in the world outside today, I think people constantly are worrying about which God has got higher power, should I pray to this God, and after some time, you know, this thing didn't happen, so now I think I should pray to Hanuman, you know, then probably Hanuman will help me, I know I'm going on a journey, so Hanuman will be my savior, and after I come back from the journey, now my business has to grow, now let me focus on Lakshmi. And then we do for Lakshmi for some time, and then the business is growing, but you know, it is not at the pace that I want. So probably I should go to Shirdi, because my friend had gone to Shirdi, and after he came back, his profits multiplied 10 times. So I go to Shirdi now, and once I go to Shirdi, and I do that for a year, and then I see that, oh no, everybody is going to Tirupati. Tirupati is the richest shrine. Aray yaar, I've been doing, I made a mistake. Tirupati is the richest God. You want riches? Don't even think. He has Lakshmi on his chest. Vakshasthala, Tirupati, Balaji has Lakshmi, Shri Devi, Bhudevi. What was I doing all this time when I should have gone to Tirupati?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, this is something that, you know, all of us go through. Even though it seems like an universal truth, all names and forms are equal. But I think every time, even so many of us in the Sai fold, we worship Hanuman for some time, and then we say, no, today let's do Gayatri Japa now.
Swami calls it the musical chairs. This heart has place only for one. But we keep replacing with various other gods, as you said, from depending on the situation and the problems in your life, you seek refuge in different gods, thinking they will, if not one, the other one will give us the solution and salvation. But he also gives the same example, like, you know, this God's, what you call, being with God is not like being in a share market.
Yes.
Where you keep changing your scripts or the shares depending on which value is better, improving, performing.
Yes.
So these two are very good examples, musical chairs and the share market.
Absolutely. I mean, the share market is basically a muddle of various minds.
Yes.
That's what
share and market. And we go for the blue chips.
Absolutely. I mean,
but in this, one thing really interesting, he says, what a question. The way he says, what a question. Means, how can you ask a question?
How can
like
you
this?
Ask? Correct. Exactly.
But one thing which he himself says again, that wherever, whichever form you pray, finally it comes to me.
Yes.
So I was just thinking that the three main things which we just see it very, very normally in Parthi, but if you actually go deeper into it, you will understand. One, I want to just take up this Veda Purusha Saptaha Jnana Yajnam, that Dasara Yajnam which you call.
Yes.
If you just see it deeper, you just see that, I just try to narrate what happens on the stage.
Sure.
If you go on the right, the extreme right, we have this Shiva Laksharchana. Well, yes. Shivalinga Laksharchana, we call it 1000 Shivalinga Archana, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
So you make, so Shiva is worshipped there.
Sahasralinga.
Sahasralinga Archana, exactly.
Mm.
Then next to that is our Lalita Kumkum Archana.
Yes.
Fine. And then after that, we have a few pandits who will sit and they'll chant the whole Yajurveda, Krishna Yajurveda.
Mm.
They'll take some 7 days. So that includes all the gods who are, he says, no, that is there anything small or big? Swami is making that happen. Then you come next, you come to the Namakam Chamakam, there'll be a Rudram. With Rudram, they'll do the whole
Homa.
Yagyam. Homam is happening. Then there'll be three more people on the left side, towards the gent side. One will be chanting continuously the Valmiki Ramayana, the sweet story of Lord Rama. Then one will be doing the Bhagavatam, the story of Krishna. One will be doing Devi Mahatmyam, the story of Divine Mother. And then to add to that, by Swami's grace, students get a chance to chant Durga Saptashati. So on the same stage, you have everything.
Yes.
He has given you whatever you love, you pick it.
Yes.
And you take it. Finally, who is the presiding deity of all that? He is the one who sits there and takes the Purnahuti.
Yes.
So basically, he is going to take it. Whatever you do, whichever type of worship you do, it goes to him finally.
Goes to him.
That's one thing. Second thing with this is very special for students. You go to Hillview Stadium.
Yes.
Just look at the Vidyagiri.
Yes.
You see all gods are there.
Yes.
But Swami says, and all of them are the same pedestal, other than Hanuman. Because
Absolutely.
Swami says, Hanuman is because we want all of you to become Hanuman.
Yes.
Be like him, have that energy, have that devotion, have the surrender. For that, He told, I put him up. But otherwise, Krishna is there, Shri Baba is there, Shiva is there, Jesus is there, Buddha is there, all, Vyorastra is there.
Yes.
So, whichever deity you pray, finally it comes to him.
Yes.
And the third and the most, actually beautiful and the most important thing is, like I remember when I joined MBA, they used to say that it's so nice actually. I came first, few of us who joined new for MBA, we thought so beautiful it is. Your life moves between one festival to other festival.
Yeah.
Like first you have Guru Purnima, then you have Christmas, then you have Dashara, Christmas, then you have Buddha Purnima, you have Shivaratri. All festivals. And recently there was a Sindhi New Year.
Yes.
Julelal. Yeah. Their goddess Julelal. Yes. They also came and prayed.
Yes.
So finally, because Swami says everything comes to me.
Yes.
Everything I accept.
Yes.
So
yes.
Swami says, what a question. Don't ask us questions. You pray to, like what our elder brother told, you pray to anything with intensity, it'll come to me.
Come to me. Yes.
Yeah, even in, I told this example before also. Once there was one classmate of mine actually in MBA. We all had been to on a winter vacation, and some of us stayed back. And then soon after the holidays were over, the boys returned. And then one student was my classmate. He seated there. Then Swami saw him in the evening and said, "Hey, you went to Tirupati, right?" "Yes, Swami." "What, you are asking for marriage?" No, he denied it. He said, "No, Swami. Hey, don't tell me that you have not prayed for it." Then he said, "See, you think that you can hide it from me by going there, but you do not know that is only a sub office. This is the headquarters. All the prayers there are referred here. This so is the headquarters.
You are afraid to tell Swami that you want to get married, but you go and tell Tirupati. Tirupati Lord."
Yeah, as he said. So all these offerings and prayers and aspirations reach this lotus feet of Bhagwan.
Yes.
And Bhagwan has been the single unifying factor on this planet today.
Yes.
If there is one thing that he has done it most easily, is to remove these distinctions from our minds at a very young age.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, I tell you, in today's world and the way things are going on, we, you know, as you also said, that those who worship Rama stick only to that, and they find it offensive when they are somebody else is worshipping Krishna. Mm. And the differences between Shaivites and Vaishnavites, Bhagwan says that both are same.
Yeah.
Both, someone calls him Venkat Ramanas, someone calls him Venkateshwara.
Yes.
One is a Ishwara, another, but it is only for the devotee, it's different, but Lord is one, Bhagwan. So this is one thing that has, Bhagwan has solved once for all for our life. There is no difference between gods and goddesses. There is only one Supreme Lord.
Yes.
And
there's only one God, and He's omnipresent.
He's omnipresent, yes.
That's what Bhagwan used to say. And you know, Brother Bhargav, when you brought out the example of the Hillview Stadium, you know, what occurred to me is, it is so beautiful that Bhagwan placed devotion at a higher level than the deity to whom devotion is offered.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. You know, you have the Lord and the devotee and devotion, and Swami has kept devotee and the devotion at a higher level.
Higher level. I was also thinking of
then the Lord himself.
Yes.
And you see, even though there are so many gods, as you said, everything, Swami did not keep so many devotees. Swami just kept one ideal of devotion there.
Correct.
It's basically that, and that devotee Hanuman, what did he desire for? He desired for only the chance to become one with Rama.
Correct.
Hanuman was only interested in, as Bhagwan says, soham and dasoham. So he was an example of dasoham, where he diminished himself to such an extent that he just did not exist. Only Rama existed, and because he had that kind of complete surrender, complete supplication to the Lord, that today Lord has raised him. He diminished himself, and Lord has Lord has today kept a mega image of him. You know, he wanted to disappear, and God ensured he is the only one who is remembered. You know,
and anyway, Swami even adds one more thing. Yes. He says, just to interrupt you, I'm sorry. He says that I didn't put Hanuman there doing bhajan or something.
Yes.
Action. Heroes of action. I want my students and my devotees and all to be heroes of action.
Correct.
So he is actually ready to take that plunge.
He's in a mode where he's busy in working for Rama.
Yes. Saving Lakshmana.
So
saving
confidence, confidence in oneself and faith in God.
Yes.
These two things are essential for success, and Hanuman symbolizes that most beautifully.
Absolutely. See, here if you see, Bhagwan is saying that all gods are same, but Swami says the bhakta should pay attention to one matter. In whichever form the Lord is worshipped, the purpose of the contemplation should be the same. That Swami is, one thing Swami says, all gods are same. That is settled. Next he comes to, what do you do with these gods? Don't go to these gods saying that, you know, today help me to get O grade, day after now I've gotten O grade, so please now I have to get the job in
TCS. But that is how it starts.
TCS. I know.
Because
I know.
At least that's an attraction, you know.
That's an attraction.
He's the one fulfiller of my desires and wishes.
Absolutely. In fact, Bhagwan in another discourse, Swami says that he really welcomes people who come to him even for things of the world.
Yes.
Even if they have to come for a job, even if they want a child, even if they want a promotion, someone says they are better than those people who go to someone else. You want to beg?
Correct.
Go and beg at the feet of the Lord.
Yes, yes.
You know, don't be a beggar in front of anyone else. So that way Swami is saying artha arthi jigyansi jnani. Swami is saying, okay, at least that much they know that I don't have to lower my head in front of anyone else. You know, if I have to beg, if I have to ask, I will ask him, because he is the one who can give me everything. He is the sole repository of everything in the world. So that is, yes, as you said, that is to begin with.
Yes.
So, but yeah, just to add to your point, because we are talking about Sandeha Nivarini, means Sandeha will come when he is a Jigyasu.
Correct.
Means his basic needs, whatever he wants, are over.
Yes.
So now when he comes with that, with the idea of questioning the Lord and asking him an answer.
Correct.
That time he says, see, now you're fine with your O grades and your jobs and all that.
Yes.
But now when you come to me, you have a sandeha, then the answer is contemplation should be only on me, nothing else.
Yes.
And achieving me.
Yes.
Because when someone has a genuine doubt or a sandeha, like
correct,
it has to be only towards how to reach God, how to be closer to God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So here you have, Bhagwan is saying, okay, as you said, okay, in the initial years, yes, you can ask for all the paltry things and all the material things, but Swami says, you should know that I give you what you want so that you may want what I want to give you. I will
namely
give you liberation.
Moksham.
That is the only thing he is interested
yes
in us asking him.
Yes, only in the guise of these desires,
yes,
he has brought us here to close to him.
Yes.
He said once, you know, in his discourse in 79 when we just joined in the old hostel, the first discourse I remember, he said that, why do you think I got you all here? You will not come otherwise. I just attracted you in the name of this secular education.
Yes.
I'm like a mother Yashoda,
yes,
who is hiding a cane behind hers, and she's showing the butter,
yes,
with which Krishna can be attracted.
Correct.
The moment Krishna comes within her grasp,
yes,
she catches hold of him and gives him a whipping. He says the whipping is the spiritual knowledge, adhyatmika,
yes,
jnanam.
Yes.
So this, what follows,
yes,
after being trapped,
yes,
is this whipping actually.
Yes.
And this whipping is, you know, first we feel as though Swami is doing everything. Yes, he is doing. But the beauty with Swami is that he transforms our material desires into the spiritual aspiration.
Absolutely.
So that is how it is a very beautiful example of all the students and devotees of Swami who experience this actually. Swami's purpose is only to liberate you from these clutches of this worldly existence actually.
I mean, two thoughts come to mind. One is, if you look at so many devotees who have now settled down in the ashram, you know, many of them had very luxurious lifestyles, you know, probably they lived in houses which were four or five rooms, because
yes,
many of them are actually come from very, very respectable positions in the government,
yes,
in the corporate world.
Mm.
You know, I think if Bhagwan was not there, if in any other scenario, if you have told them, can you come and live in a house which is just 8 feet by 10 feet? You know, but I think it will be startling for them also to think that, you know, this is what actually we have done. Like, we have, after living in a bungalow, which had like...
Actually, some of them come with truckloads of luggage from their previous places,
yes,
where they have been staying earlier,
yes,
to lead a retired life here. Means with all their little comforts and thinking of Lord.
Yes.
And so, but what they are in for is something else.
Yeah.
Swami, before they come here, he says, yes, yes, please come. I will take care of everything. I will give you a nice room, everything. But it's not as though it's all negative.
Yes.
But Swami's purpose, he never deviates from actually.
Yeah.
So the moment the person comes, then he finds that he has been given a room.
Yes.
And the room is without the kitchen. It's just the beginning.
It's just the beginning.
And in those days, the secretary, Mr. Kutumb Rao, it's a great blessing that Mr. Kutumb Rao comes and delivers the key to your hand, so, saying, Swami has given. You are very happy.
Mm.
But you find the kitchen is still not open. This is how it begins, actually. So you start, he starts trimming you.
Trimming, yeah.
Yes. Then you come to know, oh, ho, ho.
Yes.
This is how it, and then he, sometimes I have seen in many cases, Swami has not even inquired, maybe initially, eppudu vacharu. So, with all enthusiasm, you settle down, what, maybe I'll be taken care of everything. But then again, there is a period when Swami is not even talking.
Yes.
But this is when the trimming is going on, actually. So, you then say, finally, okay, maybe it's, Swami doesn't want to even want me to settle down here, I will quit. And that's when suddenly you will ask, Ela unnaru?
How are you?
And then a big,
boost.
And then Swami talks to them.
Yes.
By which time this person is willing to say, Swami, whatever you say. That surrender has,
yes,
already set in.
Yes.
And then he says, yes, this is
now
what I have
brought
you here.
Now he's very, now that small room becomes a mansion.
Yes, yes. Even today, the same person who was maybe feeling a little uncomfortable initially,
yes,
he feels, what will I do in this big room? One single room. All Swami says, all I need is a 5x3,
yes,
finally.
Yes. That whole process, the way Swami does, you know,
yes,
is very interesting. When you look at, like, for example, other day also, Swami was saying, see, people want udyoga, employment. And Swami said, you know, they say in Sanskrit, udyogam purusha lakshanam. Means the mark of a man is his employability, he getting, having a great job.
Mm.
That is what general understanding is of this phrase Udyogam Purusha Lakshanam. Swami says Ud Yoga.
Oh.
What is Ud? It is higher.
Okay. Ud Yoga means higher yoga.
Ud means higher, Swami says.
Mm-hmm.
And it is higher discipline. Yoga is discipline. So that union with Lord, it is aspiring for higher life.
Yeah.
That is what we generally think Udyogam, Udyogam. Telugu word for employment is Udyogam, right? Sanskrit word for employment is Udyogam. So Swami, we constantly think that Udyoga means employment. Swami says that is not what was meant. The Sanskrit meaning of this word, it says that, like for example, Swami said Sri Satya Institute of Higher Learning. It is not just learning. You know, it is not just a degree which, as Swami says, becomes your begging bowl. Here, Swami is saying Udyogam is higher life. So you are truly having the mark of a man, Purusha Lakshanam, Swami says, only when you aspire for that higher life, only then you have Purusha Lakshanam. You are a man. You can be called a man.
Yeah.
And Swami says, here you have what are the four goals of every man? Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. And so that's what Swami is saying, Mumukshatam, the desire for liberation, Moksha, that is the final goal. And so beautifully Swami has coupled these Dharma and Artha, Kama and Moksha, you know, how Artha should be in the path of Dharma. Whatever wealth you earn, that Artha should be through righteous means. And your Kama should be only for Moksha.
But anyway, Swami always, as a compassionate Lord, he always gives you the relaxation.
Yes.
So I remember there's this very beautiful Chana Katha is there, where there's one devotee goes, and as you just started the discussion, you mentioned that. So the story goes that I'll just mention it.
Please.
So he'll go to his cupboard and put an idol of Rama and praise. Nothing happens. Throws it off, then puts Krishna. Still nothing happens. So this happens some 4 or 5 times. Meditation happens. Finally, he takes one, might be Devi, Divine Mother. And then when he lights the agarbatti and he's praying to the mother, and the other 3-4 idols were kept in the other cupboard. They were locked, but a small slit was there. And he notices that this burning incense smoke is actually going towards that slit and might be going, and they are getting a benefit out of it. So he says, how can you do this? And then he closes it. Swami says, that moment God appears. So basically Swami is like, with all these things also, he's only telling one thing. If you have that intensity, that bhavam, so basically what that man,
so at that point in time, the man really believed these gods are alive, they are benefiting from the fragrance.
So even that moment, that intense moment where you feel that, okay, whomever I'm worshipping is not for my this thing or something, he or she is actually there.
Not just statues.
Like, he talks about concretization of that form. So in this story, Swami depicts that in that moment when he says that, how can this fragrance go to them? According to his understanding, those people, those deities were actually there in person, concretized form. So when that bhavam comes to him, automatically God appears. He says, okay, what do you want?
Absolutely.
So Swami has given that relaxation also to, even if you do this musical chair, but if you have intensity, even at one point, he will come and help you. That much leeway he has given us.
Yes, absolutely. And Swami is stressing here that what is desire for liberation? Swami is making it very clear. He is saying the Lord alone should be loved.
Correct.
Lord alone should be loved, nothing else. He has made it very clear. Lord alone and nothing else. It can't be Lord and this. It cannot be little of Lord and little of the world. It cannot be, okay, 70% Lord and 30% Lord of the world. He is not giving that concession. If you are talking about moksha, the Lord alone should be loved. Nothing else.
Swami himself has told, I think you mentioned this once before also, that if you actually, like a person who climbs a coconut tree, the shadow automatically climbs a tree. So if you actually go and, if you aspire for the Lord, that is a coconut, climbing the coconut tree, the world which is a reflection, automatically you get whatever you want.
Seek the kingdom of Lord and everything else shall be added on to you.
About this mumukshatvam, as I was reading in some commentary, it's written that that tat chintanam then tat kathanam and tat prabodhanam. These are the three things you can think of when you're talking about the thinking of the Lord. Tat chintanam is always thinking of the Lord. Tat kathanam is thinking of the talking about the glory of the story of the stories of the Lord, and tat prabodhanam, teachings of the Lord. So I was thinking, if I had not come to Swami, I would have only thought about these as certain concepts. Then I think about the Lord, think about Bhagavatam, Rama, Ramayana, all these stories. But here with Swami, you know, tat chintanam, we are actually always thinking of Swami. We are always wanting to hear his stories, his leelas. Tat prabodhanam, we are always indulging in this satsangam and tat prabodhanam, his teachings. So automatically our sadhana is happening towards this mumukshatvam.
Yes.
That so is, that is a big advantage for us. We always are concentrating, focusing only on Swami. The whole life revolves around Swami only. This is becoming our effort and sadhana towards the goal.
I think that is the biggest benefit that mankind experiences when the Lord comes down in flesh and blood. When Krishna came down, at that point in time you had the Gopalas and Gopikas, they could not think of a moment other than Krishna. They could not think, when dawn happened, they wanted to go with Krishna. They wanted to be with Krishna, play in the sands. They wanted to go for grazing. Once they came back for breakfast, they wanted to, you know, breakfast with Krishna. They're waiting to, when will Krishna again come out? Again we'll go out and play with Krishna. Gopikas are waiting. Mother was waiting. Yashoda was waiting. You know, everyone's thought was constantly only on Krishna. And if you see, the same thing happened when Bhagavan now came and he was playing with the students, with the devotees. If, even if Bhagavan came for darshan, you know, you are seeing, if you look at a devotee's life, for example, you know, who is in Prashantilayam for darshan, you know, the number of minutes that he will actually see Swami is probably 10 minutes. You know, in the evening, I'm talking about, say, in the 80s and 90s, you know, probably he will see Swami for 10 minutes, that darshan, that Swami will come. After that, Swami will go inside the interview room. After that, Swami will go for bhajans. And again, when Swami is going back, probably he will have a glimpse. And that time, you know, it is just a glimpse from far. So probably, together if you see, he would have seen Swami for 10-15 minutes. 5 minutes when he's going back, and darshan 10 minutes. But see the amount of time he is spending in the mandir, only thinking about, when will I see the Lord? Only thinking about, can I give this letter to the Lord? Can I, what should I do so that next time he comes, Swami will look at me? Constant introspection, constantly he's chanting bhajans, he's looking at devotees, he's thinking about the devotees of the Lord, he's thinking about the Sai center that he's been visiting, he's thinking about what else should I do, he's thinking, oh, no, I'll buy Swami's picture, no, I will read Swami's books. That's what is happening, isn't it? So if you see, he'll be sitting from afternoon 1:30, 2 o'clock till 6:37. So 5-6 hours he has been sitting in the mandir, just only thinking about the Lord.
Correct. See, a person who does not know about Swami and did not have the good fortune of recognizing him to be the divine avatar, so he would be wondering what these mad people are doing, always going after Swami, doing bhajans,
yes,
always talking about him. Actually, unfortunate they are that they do not know the sweetness of this experience and how fortunate we are. As you said, the whole Swami said that one day, as I said this earlier also, the Swami said this to the one student in the bhajan hall, I will fill you myself with so much that you will have nothing else to think of. See, what is his target? He himself is giving you this exposure actually.
Yes.
So his purpose is to give you as much exposure and, you know, understanding of Swami as possible, so that your thoughts are always geared towards him.
Yes. Absolutely. In fact, see,
just now adding to his, like, same thing. And the power of what Swami can do, the transformation, is a very hilarious incident. One of my senior colleagues who works with me, he was not a devotee. He just finished his education, just landed here for a job in the administrative building. So the day he landed, he saw one red car going and people running behind it.
Oh, so he just came here for employment?
Yes, just for employment he had come.
Okay.
And as soon as he landed, he just got on the bus. He suddenly saw one big red car is going and people are running behind it. He stops one person and says, what is the red car? So that person looks at him from top to down and says, what is this? What are you asking?
Means he don't even know why are you here?
Then he sees someone sitting in the car. He says, who is that person inside the car? So this person who was running, who stops because of him, gets very annoyed, looks at him with lot of anger and just goes off. He thinks, what is this? Why did he behave like this? He didn't understand. So after that, he says that he just narrated. He says he got his interview and then he got through and he got a job in the institute building in the university. And after another 1 week or 10 days, what happens is, the same scene. Swami's car is going and he's running behind the car. So he happens to bump into this devotee. He looks at him and says, what are you doing now? 1 week back you asked me this question. So, I also understood what it was. So within a matter of 1 week, who doesn't know what is the car, who is inside the car, he's running behind the car.
Swami uses these two words for this. Pichini pattinchu, pichini pogattu. I can make you mad after me. I can remove that madness from you both.
Worldly madness.
I can.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Wow.
I can remove the madness from you towards the world. I can increase the madness towards me. Your madness towards me.
Wow.
And that propels our spiritual growth.
Amazing. And actually what generally comes in the way is desires, isn't it? You know, what, as Swami says, there are three impurities. You have mala, vikshepa and avarana that Bhagavan talks about. And mala is a mental state which is like a dust-covered mirror, Swami says. You know, and these are the dusts which are created by the mind because of our gunas, the impurities, which are because of sattva, raja, tama, and their repercussions on the mind. And vikshepa, Swami says, is the unsteadiness of the mind, the vacillations of the mind because of doubts and suspicions. Avarana, Swami says, is something that envelops man. And Swami says, what is it that envelops man? It is desires.
Okay.
It is desires that, and every person is driven by desires because of these impulses, these tendencies, these vasanas, isn't it? These vasanas that we have been through, and these are the tendencies that we have accumulated over so many births.
Past lives,
you know. And these are something which propel us to do different actions, desiring for different things of the world. But Swami says that anyone aiming at the realization should practice the diminishing of impulses. You should practice, you know, reducing the force of these impulses. And Swami says, how this can happen is just like, you know, you have these seeds. Seeds, if you put it on the ground, you will have trees. But if the seeds are fried, then they will not...
Roasted.
Yeah, if they are roasted, then, you know, they will not grow into trees.
No.
You know, they are just good for eating. You cannot put them for cultivation.
You cannot put them on barren lands also.
Yeah.
Well, only on fertile soil. Then only they will...
No, even then, once the seeds are fried...
Okay, yes.
Once the seeds are fried, then that's it. They cannot grow into a tree.
Right.
And Swami says, that is what happens once you are completely tuned to the Lord... Then all these vasanas, you know, these seeds are there. See, many times what happens is we think, okay, we have controlled this tendency of ours. You know, we all have weaknesses. So we think, okay, I have controlled this negative trait, or I have controlled this weakness. Swami says, you know, you think you have control, but many times what happens is it's like when there is rain, Swami says, this fresh rain, then suddenly again you see
everything,
the whole land green and you'll find so many shoots and so many weeds and so many things coming up. It's because that seed is still there.
Correct.
It was just waiting for, you know, some nourishment and it grew again. So many times, I think that's, we, at least is my experience, you know, you think, okay, I have controlled this tendency and suddenly you find the expression of that tendency. Which, because, you know, there was some circumstance which was favorable for that tendency express itself, and it did.
Correct.
So, Swami says, you have to be extra alert for this. And the only way, Swami says, is you fill with purity. That is the only way. You have to try and curb with willpower, with grace. Willpower, grace, effort. There's no shortcut to that. So, you have to curb so that, you know, even if there is an environment where it can't find express, it will not. But Swami says that when will it completely stop? When they are like fried seeds. So, and that fried seeds will happen only when you are constantly in thought of the Lord. I think that is, you know, when you're constantly only desiring for liberation, then slowly all these tendencies will become defunct.
Yeah, tell me.
There is, I'll just take a little bit a different point of view.
Sure.
Like, this... because I have little bit of knowledge about astrology. So in that, what happens is there's very interesting. I just see the simile between this and that. So there is a particular planet called Rahu.
Yes.
If you have, you had heard about it.
Yes.
So planet. Basically, Rahu is nothing but in the when Swarabhanu is a demon who in that when the nectar is given by the Mohini. So what they do is this demon comes and sits on the side of the devas and actually takes that one drop of nectar.
The nectar that came after the churning of the
churning
ocean.
Churning of the ocean. So then what happens? This Vishnu realizes it and he cuts the head.
Yes.
So the head part is supposed to be Rahu.
Yes.
And the
head of the demon.
Head of the demon is Rahu.
Who masqueraded as a deva.
As a deva.
To get a taste of the nectar.
Yes. So in astrology, they say Rahu actually signifies desire. It's
desire.
Only desire. And the reason given is, it has no stomach. When you have a stomach, you can digest what you take. When you don't have a stomach, there is no end to it. How much ever you take, there is no one to control it. And one more symbolism, like when you told me, one more symbolism of Rahu is smoke. It actually obscures your vision and puts you in Maya. So these are the two main things. And the third symbolism of Rahu is being in the present time, the electronic media, the electromagnetic waves. So you see, all these things are signified by Rahu. And you know what? In a horoscope, if you just go to that, who controls Rahu is Guru. Guru is actually the planet Jupiter. But in a normal, in a human being's life, in a person's life, Guru is nothing but the Guru whom you pray to or whom you worship. And there is another planet called Saturn, Shani. Shani is not negative. Shani actually means discipline and devotion and one-pointedness. So these two are the planets who actually keep it in limit. Doesn't allow it to go beyond limits.
Allow which?
Rahu.
Rahu. So Guru and Shani control Rahu.
Yeah. See, Guru and Shani, those two traits, the Guru and your discipline and your steadfastness, your one-pointedness.
Control that desire.
Unlike the common belief, actually, Swami says Shani does good.
Shani is always
when
good.
When you follow discipline, automatically grace will follow.
So, whatever our scriptures and our ancient sciences which we had. So, when you told me about this Avarana Mala Vikshepa, it actually, so beautifully, it actually matches with that. Rahu is nothing but desire and smoke. And these are the two people with
insatiable desire.
Insatiable desire, because there is no stomach. You keep eating, there is nothing to digest it. You can take how much ever you want. So people who are actually bit by desire,
you only become heady.
Yes, there is no end to this. There is no limit. Limitless desires. Swami says, na, there should be a ceiling
on desire.
Bottomless pit it is. So for that, to control that, the one planet which can control it, or in a deeper meaning, it is Guru.
Guru.
And combined with Guru is discipline and devotion and steadfastness.
Shani.
If you have these two, then you can control Rahu, that is desire, which will, the smoke of ignorance can go.
Wow.
Might be this is just a little different level of viewpoint.
A devotee, certain times a devotee would be scared of all these influences of planetary, these things and all. So that is why Swami, I think, gives us assurance that once you have anugraha, no graha can do any harm to you.
Absolutely.
And as you also said that the power of Swami actually gives us the protection during this period when you are doing your little efforts also. Because as you said, that we, even though we feel that we have conquered certain base desires or whatever, suddenly from nowhere, without your knowledge, something else overpowers you and you end up indulging in something, say, because that is the result of your previous karmas or whatever. And you require real grace of the Guru.
Yes.
It is Bhagavan who protects us during this very crucial phase of your sadhana, work towards mumukshatvam.
Yes, absolutely. And here Swami is saying that there are so many stories from the Bhagavata and the Ramayana of people who ask the Lord all kinds of favors.
Correct.
You know, many times even I used to think, I don't know, maybe Bhargav, you can share your perspective on this. I would think that, you know, this person, say, a demon, be it Ravana or anyone, you know, he's worshipping the Lord for hundreds of years. And I would think, if he's worshipping the Lord for hundreds of years, that whole process of worship will actually purify him so much that he will not, that when the Lord appears, he will not ask for something silly. But, you know, we have whole scriptures in the Puranas, you have stories that you're finally, you know, after worshipping the Lord and meditating on the Lord for hundreds of years, when the Lord appears, this man says, no, give me the boon so that I can kill this fellow.
But actually, in one story is Dhruva's story.
Yes.
Dhruva's story, actually he starts with the desire of sitting on the lap of his father.
Yes.
But when he starts chanting, Ono Bhagavate Vasudevaya, he gets purified.
He gets purified.
But there's one more perspective for Ravana's thing also. Ravana, are you telling something?
No, no. What I was trying to say is, I mean, that is the power of the gunas, I would feel. That is the power of the tendencies.
Correct.
You know? It needs so much of effort. Yeah, brother, go on.
See, in Ravana's also, there's one more perspective which actually happens in Ramcharitmanas. In Goswami Tulsidas writes that, When he realizes that what type of a deham, it's called tamasa deham. Like, I'm in a, it's only ignorance and
but
sloth.
You live at the level of the body alone.
Body alone and being a beast. Mm. So he says, what is the best way of, this is Tulsidas, Goswami Tulsidas ji writes in this. He says, what is the best way of getting liberation? Best way of getting liberation is knowing, because he comes to know that there is something called as Rama, who's God, who's born. So he says, what is the best way of getting liberation? Getting killed by him. So what is most dearest to him, apparently, he is God. Dearest to him is his wife Sita. So let us abduct. So this is how, even in Ramayana also, Tulsidas ji says that his desire was only to get liberation. So on that intention only he did this. So even in, and then even Swami says, I think that Kaikeyi is an episode of Kaikeyi.
Oh yes.
Rama goes and asks Kaikeyi, please do this for me so that I can do good. I
do
can
this
go and
favor. Yeah.
Do this favor for me.
Yes.
So might be it is finally that there is no, it's all play of God. I don't know whether it is something good or bad.
Absolutely.
But in this, there's one very interesting thing which I liked a lot was that Swami says that just saying true is not enough. Not once. He says true. It's not that just keep nodding your head and saying, okay, this is good. So in this case, Swami gives, there are three types of devotees, Swami says. One is like Bandarai, that is in a river, when a river is flowing, there'll be a raw, in a small stone in it. How many ages the river would have flown, but nothing happens to the stone.
Steadfast.
Second type.
Steadfast.
No, not steadfast. There is no
visibleness.
Wetness touching the stone. Swami is the first category.
Okay.
Second category, Swami says, is cotton.
Mm.
You put it in the river, it is wet. Mm. Wet of devotion. Okay. As soon as you take it out, it becomes dry.
Okay.
So
okay.
Actually here, might be Swami is talking about the second type, cotton. You say, good, yes, when I talk. But when you go out, you forget everything.
Mm.
But Swami says the third type is what he wants. This is like like sugar.
Mm.
You put sugar, it gets dissolved. You get dissolved in the devotion and becomes one with the God. Mm.
Similar one, Swami says, three types.
Okay.
The people who hear from one ear and let it from the other ear.
Mm.
This is one category. If nothing goes in.
Everything goes in.
There are those who hear and they immediately verbalize it.
Mm.
They can give lectures, but no practice.
Oh my God.
The third one is the one who hears and allows it to go into the heart, bypass the mouth too. You don't even talk, you just allow it to sink. And from there, all knowledge begins actually. So if you want to really grow, you have to allow this to sink into you, from where in your heart all the goodness is there. All that you talk about, the compassion, the kindness, the love. Swami says, all this is there embedded in your heart. You have to bring that out. That's the purpose of your existence. And when you hear Swami and when you see so many people talk about Swami, you understand the divinity of Bhagavan, and then you allow that to sink into your heart. Then you see the, what you call, reality of all this. The truth. When you experience the truth, the avidya disappears.
Yes.
I remember, like when sir was telling, there was one story which I heard, elders in the hostel, that there was an exhibition and Swami was only interested in one particular part of the exhibition where there were three dolls kept. Swami used to go and do. The first doll, if you put a small stick or something from the left ear, it will come out of the right ear. No, bad. Swami used to say it. Second doll, if you put from the left ear, it will come out of the mouth. No, not good. Third one, Swami always used to be very excited when he says, when you put it in the, doesn't see? Paikaradu, it doesn't come out. This is what you should have. So I remember Swami was like a child. He was, when he used to explain, he was very excited about it.
So happy that, you know, my boys have understood this. They have made a model. So at least something will remain.
He also says, no, that, see, just saying, oh, Swami's discourse was fantastic. All these adjectives we use. But what exactly Swami said? No, I'm not able to remember. It was too good. Even in the hostel also. For one day, we will all be feeling very, very enthusiastic. For second, third day onwards, it starts dying down again.
No, brother, not only that. Sometimes even it happens, Swami, please finish the discourse. I want to have a darshan. I want to have a padamaskar. Swami, please. that initially, that also used to happen.
Yeah, because we are too young and raw to understand. That, you know, now we may be able to understand the meaning of what Swami is saying. Yeah. This is all what he has said in the discourses.
Yeah.
But those times, actually, we were all empty heads. Swami, that's why he, you know, he liked to give himself to the young children, students, because he used to say that emi leina buraloni emaina cherchavachu. In an empty head you can pour anything, but once you come to Swami after being, you know, immersed in the world, there is no space for all these things to go into you.
A lot of unlearning has
happened. And even those elderly ones who come here, they are envious of the young ones. Oh my God, how fortunate these are. At such a young age, they are exposed to all this. They chant Vedas, they sing bhajans, they enjoy Swami's proximity. We were not so fortunate. Like that, many devotees feel actually. So how true all these things are actually.
Absolutely.
So because he putting into us all those things, into our heads, all those things, today all these are blooming in us. Swami said, you won't know the value of what I put into you now.
Yeah.
Only later when all these things germinate and sprout, and you will understand the value of what I have given. And we can see that today.
And I think that we see not only in the lives of students who were... students of his university or college, but even Balvika students, in the lives of devotees. I think everywhere it is happening.
Yes.
I think after Bhagwan left the physical form, if you see, you know, as Brother Bhargava was mentioning, when he was in the physical form, we loved to have as many moments of physical proximity with him, and that sort of had become so much a preoccupation for us that, you know, even if he's giving a discourse, you know, we just are thinking, you know, will Swami come this way when he's returning after the discourse? What else can I do so that I can get one more chance to touch his feet, or one more chance to give a rose, or what else can I do? If I become a district president, then maybe when we do a cultural program, I can do aarti and then I'll have one photograph with Swami. You know, I think that's what was there in so many people's mind, not only students. And at that point in time, you know, you didn't really perhaps pay this much attention to the message, perhaps, you know, because at that point in time, for us, getting moments with him with the physical form was such a huge attraction. And now including the students and everyone who has lived with Swami. Now look at what have we left with. We are left with only this. We are left with, yes, we can get back those moments. Mm. We can get back those moments in spirit, provided now you dwell on the message. Mm. Through the message, you can still get again the experience of the master.
Sure, sure. Yes, that is true.
Master's experience is there.
Yes.
But it can come, but it will need that effort. It came very freely when he was there in the physical form. Mm. But now you have to put in that effort. But the beautiful thing is, now he's waiting more eagerly than ever before to hold your hand.
Yeah.
Because he knows that he's not there in the physical form. Mm-hmm. He knows that, you know, it is difficult for you to concentrate your mind. Distractions are so much. You have a lot of problems. He understands that. And that's why I think earlier if Swami said, you know, you take one step and I'll take 99 steps. Today I feel that even you take that one step and break it into 100 steps, you know, it's like you take by 100th of that one step itself, Swami is so happy.
Yes.
He's willing to hold your hand, actually.
Yes, yes.
He's that eager to help, actually, for all of us who want to desire only for what he wants us to desire.
Mm.
He's saying, just desire only for me. Mm. Think of me alone, because he is the only thing worth desiring in this world. And I think if we have that as the goal, then, as Swami says, the goal and God become one. Become one.
Yes.
Very well put, correct.
Yeah. Yes. So that is the journey for all of us. And we hope that we make use of these beautiful words that Swami has left us with. I think every time you read these messages, every time you concentrate, every time you read a discourse now, I think, oh my God, where was I when Swami was giving these discourses? Such profound things he
has
said.
Maybe I was busy writing a letter to give it to him.
Yeah, exactly. Busy thinking, tomorrow will I get a chance to sing or not? I mean, that is the only thing at that point in time.
We used to write a letter in the morning, he takes it.
What
and we write one more. The only purpose is to, you know, have that little contact with him.
Is
be it eye contact, be it, you know, something, some way.
Yeah.
And what an opportunity it was to communicate with him.
Yes.
It's not as though he needs to know anything about you.
Yes.
But letter writing to Bhagwan is a beautiful opportunity for a devotee, actually. Because where the devotee actually confronts himself.
Yes.
What he is writing.
Yes.
You know, he's trying to see whether you are not writing to someone ordinary.
Yeah.
Even in, you know, when Swami asks some students to speak, he says, get up, give a talk. I have seen, it was my experience also. He made me also talk on two occasions. The lesson I learned from that is, when we talk like scholars. We talk big words.
Mm.
And you have talked in the presence of Bhagwan.
Yes.
So this is a commitment in
you
public.
Yes.
That what you talk, you have to live by.
You have to live by that.
So yes. That is how it is. Even what I have written to him is actually a correction in my methods. In the way I operate in life.
Mm.
So that is how I got corrected, I felt.
Yes.
It came through a maze of imperfections.
Mm.
So even now it's still a work in progress.
Yes.
All of us.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that is the reason why Bhagwan is so willing to hold a hand. We only have to make that effort, open the pages of Satya Sai Speaks, open the pages of Vahinis and read. As Swami says, Sravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam, read, think about it, ruminate on it, and try and see what I can translate into my life. And he is there, willing to hold a hand and take us to that path, take us on that path of joy, of happiness, of bliss. Thank you so much, brothers Bhargav and Brother Srinivas Rao. So, dear listeners, if you have any queries or comments, please feel free. You're most welcome to join us in this discussion through your queries, through your comments. We would really love to have so many of you participate. We have the limitation of time and space. Technology bridges gaps to some extent, but there is nothing like meeting someone face to face, sitting across one-to-one, when you can see the person, feel the person and have the vibe of the person. So, but we've been only trying to represent all of you, each one of you who is on this path, and trying to discuss so that it will help all of us on this journey. So please feel free to share your thoughts, your comments, your experiments with walking on this path. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. Send us your feedback, your comments to our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Once again, 9393-258-258. Thank you so much for being with us through this lovely adventure. Sai Ram.